keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Ago, I was asked to visit an elderly man who was deeply troubled and having a hard time. As I began to meet with this fellow, it became clear that in his struggles in life were rooted in his upbringing, and particularly how his father had treated him. From a young age and all through his adulthood, he was terribly mistreated by his father, and the pain that it caused carried over in almost every aspect of his life. So for several months, I would go visit this gentleman weekly, and of course, the first thing I did was present the gospel to him and be assured he knew the Lord. He acknowledged Christ, and then I would counsel him. I'd also share with him reassuring scriptures that assured him of God's love for him and God's approval of him and who he was. His life began to turn around. At an elder age, he began to embrace life again and started to experience joy that he hadn't experienced in years. Then one evening, I showed up at his apartment. He was in terrible shape after having so many good weeks. His father, who was now in his 90s, showed up at his apartment and just lit into him and just shot him back down again, and this it impacted his life terribly. He had a lifetime of terrible experiences, and a life of the negative thoughts he had about himself were deeply rooted. He had to learn to overcome them by replacing those thoughts with God's word. And he had to learn to recognize any triggers that the enemy would use to send him spiraling into old destructive habits. Regardless of where you find yourself this morning, every one of us need a word of encouragement and reassurance from God's word, really on a daily basis. And we have biblical proof of that, how we need that if you just consider the life of Jesus. As followers of Christ, we know and believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man. It's a biblical truth that we may struggle to comprehend, but it is a biblical truth. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. And in his humanity, Jesus experienced every emotion, every need that we do. So when Jesus, in obedience to his Father, was baptized by John, literally the heavens opened up. Matthew 3. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I suspect Jesus has heard that before, maybe in times of prayer. But he needed to hear it again, and others around needed to hear that he was indeed the Son and the Father loved him. In the Greek, the literal translation is, "As for you, you are my Son, the beloved one, and in you I am well pleased." First thing I want to reassure all of us for this morning is that God loves you. We know it, but he loves you right now, regardless of where you are when you walk with God, regardless of where you are spiritually. And my prayer, Paul's prayer, is this morning, Ephesians 3. "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." What a beautiful scripture. And Romans clearly defines God's love for us. Romans 5:8, "But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Change that to your name. "While I was a still sinner, Christ died for me." Put your name in there. Make it real. Well, you may argue, "I haven't been very lovable lately." If you only knew where my heart was, if you only knew. Well, look at this. Romans 8:35, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does he mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute, in danger or threatened with death, as the scriptures say, 'For your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep.' No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." King James says, "We are more than conquerors." And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just wants to reassure you, doesn't matter what, you know, you may run from God's love, but he'll never run from you. God will run towards you. He will pursue you. And we get in trouble when we confuse the supernatural with the natural. We look at life's experiences and we equate them to our spiritual life. We work hard at not being fully exposed. We cover up everything in our life. And you say, "God pursues me?" Yeah. Others have done the same until they saw the real me. That's what we tell ourselves. We don't want anybody to really know us. We present a front to others that hide the real you. And the truth is, no one will ever get you like God does. He tells Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, God spoke this to the prophet Jeremiah, but Scripture tells us that God is no respecter of persons. He treats us all the same. He knew you before you were born as well. He tells us this in Psalm 139. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts of me, O God. They cannot be numbered. And again, a promise made specifically to Jeremiah holds true for you. We know this. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God knows you better than anyone else knows you, even better than you know yourself. From before you were born, God knew you and made plans for you, to bless you, to have a blessed life. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, and that's like hands-on personal, his workmanship, that's the meaning, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. He had plans for your life before you ever drew breath. These verses scream of God's love for you and the incredible value he places on you. It's a lie of the devil that says you're not enough, you're less than others. You don't measure up. You're not like so-and-so. That's a lie out of the pit of the hell that declares you're worthless. God loves you so much that he died for you when you never knew him, when you were at enmity with God, when you were still a sinner. He said, I'll die for you ahead of time. You don't have to do anything before I pay the price. I'll pay it first. The Bible declares just how much that cost Jesus. This shows you your value, your worth. 1 Peter 1:18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That you were redeemed. It means to buy back, literally a ransom to set you free from captivity. The Low Nida Dictionary says this about redeemed. It means to release or set free, with the implied analogy to the process of freeing a slave. To set free, to liberate, to deliver. The bondage that the enemy wants you in, the bondage that has you in if you don't know Christ, that God redeemed you. He bought you back from the enemy. Scripture proclaims that when you do not know Christ, you were dead in your sins, held captive by the devil and belonged to the devil. Let that sink in for a moment. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. So at the risk of being a little video heavy this morning, I want us to focus on that word redeemed. And listen to this and watch it.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. And you look out this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Now I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, because his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. Shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. 'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who
thank God I'm not who I used to be. Start defining your value and your purpose by what God says about you. Regardless what somebody else may have said about you, regardless what you have been telling yourself, regardless what mistakes and behavior have exhibited in the past, remind yourself of 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the following verse from that says, now all things are of God. You've made a new creation in Christ, and all things in God belong to you. You're in God. And we see in 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. When you know Jesus, God calls you his child. The love and the expression of a child, it means you belong. Because there are no second-class citizens in the family of God. You may feel like you slip or fall, or you don't measure up. There's no second-class citizens. Ephesians 2:19 says, you're no longer foreigners or stranger to God, and you're now a member of God's household, and he counts you as a saint of God, set apart, holy for God. And when God redeemed you, something quite remarkable happened. Something else. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Every sin you have ever committed, every mistake you've ever made, God has forgiven you. You walk forgiven. God redeemed you. God forgave you. And then he brought you home. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us, rescued us from the power of darkness, and conveyed, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He literally captured you out of the pit of hell, brought you into the kingdom of God, forgave you, redeemed you, washed you, and made you whole. As a child of God, you got a new home. You're living in and for the kingdom of God. Isaiah was prophesying to Israel about their relationship to God and their continued stubbornness and God's promise to bring them back. In chapter 49, as he's been prophesying, he begins to speak to the distant lands, those that were far away from their homeland and far away from God, feeling forgotten. And he tells them this, and he's telling us this morning. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hand. You may feel distant at times. You may feel forgotten at times. God will never forget you, never forsake you, never leave you. He wrote your name on the palm of his hands, if you will. He cannot forget you because you belong with God. And no, not only do you belong with God, you belong near to him. Ephesians 2. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. How close are you to Christ? Because you can get as close as you want. There is no limit. You probably know that old expression. If you feel distant from God, guess who moved? Because if you feel distant from God, turn around. Turn around because he's right there behind you waiting for you. Psalm 23, surely your goodness and unfailing will pursue me or follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The message says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. God's pursuing you, regardless of where you find. Whenever you feel distant from God, and we all do from time to time, turn around, and when you turn around, you won't find an angry, frustrated, disappointed God waiting there. You'll find a God of mercy and love reaching out to you. You are loved, you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're a new creation in Christ, you are remembered, and you're wanted. Paul, writing the church of Corinth, presents an incredible opportunity. He states that there is a, if you read it closely and understand it, there's a maturity that you are able to possess, and in it, a God-given wisdom, a wisdom that the world does not know or cannot acquire. A divine wisdom that allows you to understand the mysteries of God and his kingdom. Regardless of where you find yourself in Christ this morning, God says you ain't seeing nothing yet. 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's your scripture, friends. He's talking to you. You can imagine what he has planned for you and what he wants for you. Which brings us to another, the next astonishing promise of God, the wisdom that God promised to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. But it was to us that God revealed these things, all the stuff he's talking about before that, by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Wow. If we can partake of the divine nature of God, we can understand the deep things of God, we can draw close to God, we're blessed, we're washed clean, we're forgiven, we're loved, we're wanted, we're valued. Bible makes it clear when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. The magnitude of that is so often overlooked and or forgotten. But we got to remember what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That same magnificent Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. God has redeemed you, God has blessed you, God has strengthened you, and placed the Holy Spirit within you. He's calling you to live a life of holiness, and he enables you to do so by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know your faults and failures. I could give you a list of mine, but you quit coming. You know when you stumble and struggle. And you focus, and I focus on those faults and failures, and you begin to view yourself in that light. Short little clip reminder.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, oh.
Am I just a sub low? Wow. Instead of fighting that convention that goes on in your head, write this scripture out and put it on your mirror, and you can see it every morning. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. We saw that God rescued us out of the devil's bondage and translated us into God's wonderful kingdom of light. Scratch the surface of what he's done in our life. I've been working on this message, and the other evening I was driving home from Bible study, and I happened to come upon Ron Hutchcraft's A Word With You. Some of you may have heard him. He's a great teacher. He spoke about Leviticus 26. He said it's an important passage for a lot of us who don't realize how valuable we are. He said, see, the people here, the ancient Jews, had been mistreated in Egypt. They'd been used. They'd been hurt. They'd been belittled, and they'd been enslaved. And they started to believe that's what they were worth. But they've been set free. They've been rescued from Egypt, just like you've been rescued from the darkness, the evil one. And God says to them in Leviticus 26, I will walk among you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so you'll no longer be their slaves. I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck, so now you can walk with your heads held high. Hutchcraft says, see, they're out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. They are out of bondage, but the bondage wasn't out of them. God was telling them what royalty they were, that it was time they started living like the treasures they really are. That's what God's saying to you this morning. You've been set free, delivered from the bondage of darkness, from the sin in your life, that you can walk with your head held high, a child of God, loved and redeemed and forgiven and washed clean and wanted and needed in the kingdom of God. Invite the worship team to come forward. So when any of you do this, and we all do this sometime or another, stop defining yourself by your past, by others have seen you, by how you've seen yourself, and by your failures and mistakes. You're not a loser. You're not a reject. You're not a failure. God says you are God's handmade creation. You are his masterpiece. And the good news is he's still working on you. He's still sculpting the creation in you that he sees in you. As long as you're drawing breath, God's working on you and in you. Maybe you believe what somebody had told you at one point in time, said about you. They don't get to do that. They don't get to define you. They're not your creator. You're created by God. You're loved by God. You're purchased by God through the death of his son, and you are his treasure. So we're going to stand in worship this morning, and as we do so, if something's troubling you, you want to just come up and have a handful of prayer. I'll stay up here for a time of prayer if you want that. Maybe you just want refreshing. Maybe nothing's bothering you, but you want a touch from God. I just believe there's a presence of God this morning, and if you want to come forward for prayer, I'll be delighted to pray with you. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.